You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, a new collaborative work in Sunderland is looking into how smoking cessation services can be made more accessible and supportive for people living with sight loss. Joining us now to talk about the work and the impact it could have on the local community are Sarah Lever, Head of Co-Production and Inclusion at ABL Health, and Jack Moffat, Northeast and Cumbria Engagement Manager for Thomas Pocklington Trust Sight Loss Councils. It is lovely speaking with you both today.
Hi, Paulina. Hi, listeners.
Hi, Paulina. Lovely to meet you.
Now, Sarah, we'll start with you. How did this collaboration come about?
I've been working with ABL Health for just short of 10 years now, and I'm the mum of a visually impaired young adult. Now, my work is across all 28 services, and we work with smoking cessation, mental health. We do weight loss management. So when I was given this new role as co-production lead, I really wanted to look for ways in which our services can improve how we engage with service users. And that's really drilling down to the areas where we know we're probably not doing so well. And when we looked at the statistics, what we did notice was we knew within the sight impaired and blind community, there's more chance that you're a smoker. What we weren't doing is engaging with many smokers who were sight impaired. So what I wanted to do was get some smokers together who were experiencing sight loss and find out what we could do differently to make sure they felt included. So hence, I started to work with Jack and a few others from the Northeast. So the funding for this project has come from the Sunderland Specialist Stop Smoking Services. We set this co-production group up to look at how we can make sure we design a service for sight impaired and blind individuals that is designed with them, not for them. So that's where I come into the situation.
What about yourself, Jack? Sarah kind of hinted how you got involved, but could you elaborate a little bit?
I manage sight loss councils in the Northeast, and what a sight loss council is groups of visually impaired people who are looking to improve accessibility and equality in the local area and nationally as well. We focus on four key areas. We've got built environment, which is our ability to access the world. How easy is it to get to the shops? How easy is it to just engage with everyday life like everybody else would? Health, so that's your access to things like hospitals, GP appointments. How accessible is it? And that is very much the area that's brought us on to working with Sarah. We've got, I think it's 9 or 10 volunteers in the Tynawea Sight Loss Council now. Two of which smoke. I myself am a smoker. So when Sarah approached us, it was really something that we wanted to get involved in. A big plus point about the way Sarah went about it as well is she's asked us rather than making assumptions about what we need to engage in the service. And that goes a very long way with helping us trust that it's designed in a way that's going to support us. And it's just generally going to be a bit of a push for us to get involved and ultimately stop smoking, which is what we want to do. And we want to be able to do that with as much success as everybody else. And you know, what Sarah's offering could be the road to doing that. So we're very keen to continue working alongside and, yeah, get as many visually impaired people involved with this program as we can.
So Sarah, what were some of the, I guess, findings from your research so far?
So I think it is not making assumptions came from the co-production workshop that we ran. It's very much about asking people and not making a generalistic, well, we've asked four people who are sight impaired or blind smokers to for their, you know, experiences and what would make our service engaging for them. What really came from that was that's four people. You know, there's hundreds, thousands of people out there that could want to engage with our services, and it's not about us making the assumption that because we've spoken to four people, we know everybody's needs. It's about asking every individual that contacts us with any sensory impairment to say, what can we do to make sure that your journey with us is as productive and as positive as it possibly can be? So we can ask what font size to send emails or information in. Would this person need an audio description of how the service is going to work? You know, we know some people still use Braille, so is that what we need to be looking at? But it's just about asking those questions and not being scared to ask those questions, and that's what really came from the session. Which, although my daughter isn't a smoker, she joined the co-production workshop as well because, obviously, as a young adult, she accesses health services. So she was able to offer from a female perspective, because we had four men on the call talking about their experiences, some of the things that she might feel would be important to bring into a smoking cessation service that absolutely meets the needs of sensory impaired adults who wish to give up smoking. So yeah, oh, and the other thing was doing things online, because a lot of our clinics are face to face, and for somebody who's blind or sight impaired to find their way to a clinic, navigate their way around a building, all of those things could be difficult. So it was looking at all of the things to make life easier. If they want to attend a face-to-face clinic, what can we do to make sure that's a positive experience? But if they don't want to attend face-to-face because they feel safer doing things from their home or their community centre or wherever they feel safe, what can we do to make sure we're providing the same level of care and support that we would for somebody who wasn't sensory impaired?
And Jack, as someone who you mentioned that you've smoked for a while, from I guess personal point of view, what did you would you like to see offered or made available? And also, if you don't mind me asking, how long have you smoked for?
So I smoked when I was younger. I'm 33 now, so I smoked when I was maybe 16. Carried on until I was maybe sort of 20, 22, 23. Then had a period where I stopped. Life got a little bit stressful for a while, and I started again a couple of years ago. But I am just about at the point of stopping now, which is really good. It's a conversations with Sarah, and just sort of openly having these chats about it has sort of pushed me in the right direction, which on a personal level has been a really great thing. But I think what Sarah's sort of highlighting is the value of lived experience when we're talking about how to address these things. It's very much the same across the board with access to most health services, but the way that we've been approached and actually asked about what we need to be able to access the service in the best possible way, it's been great. The accessible information standard's something we talk about a lot, and as Sarah mentioned, if we receive things in a format that we can read, that we can understand, and we can respond to, that puts us in a far better position for actually accessing the service and getting to the end goal, which is obviously stopping smoking. And there's so many different offerings we can give to help the process. I mean, me and Sarah spoke a little bit about doing some sight loss awareness work with staff, so they're more able to support visually impaired people who are accessing a service. And I always talk about as well, it's not just about ourselves as visually impaired people accessing a service and feeling comfortable with it. It's also about the staff feeling like they are able to support us, feeling like they know what to do if we enter the premises, how to support us, how do things in the building need to be set up, lighting, where the desk is, colour contrast, all of these things. But if Sarah hadn't reached out, these issues wouldn't be addressed. And it is wonderful that we're in a position that we can address this. We wish other organisations were as forward thinking as what Sarah's been. It is great, and we're really excited to keep working on it moving forward.
Perhaps it's a fantastic stepping stone to improve how these services are delivered across the board going forward. But Sarah, what are your next plans for this project?
I've got a meeting booked in with Amy, who runs the service, to look at all of the feedback. Amy was part of the co-production. Amy Jensen Boone was part of the co-production workshop, and she's got all the notes. She listened to everything that was said. She now goes back to her team to discuss how all of these suggestions are put into play. And then, with all of that information, we look at how we design a service that absolutely meets the needs of sensory impaired adults who are smokers. We take that back to the co-production group and say, this is all the ideas that you gave us. If there's things that we can't do that were part of that discussion, there'll be an explanation as to why. But there really wasn't anything, but sometimes there could be. It's looking at everything that was discussed will be piloted in the Northeast to start with. And then the learning from that will be taken into all of our other services, with hopefully some connection with their local site support services, to make sure that we're engaging the local people there in the same way that we have in the Northeast.
Fantastic. And if we wanted to find out more, is there anywhere we can go?
There's the ABL website, for the North East, which is the Sunderland Stop Smoking Service. But if anyone was to Google ablhealth.co.uk, a list of all of our services are on that website so that you can see if a service local to you offers smoking cessation, weight management, mental health support, all of those kinds of things that our company offers. I just would like to reach out to the listeners and ask if there's anyone out there that would, want to engage with us, because we've got services from Torbay, Gloucestershire, Lincolnshire, Nottingham. We've got services all over the country. So if there's any smokers out there or anyone who would like to engage with this project, it would be great to hear from people. My email address is slever@ablhealth.co.uk. Please just drop me a line and I'd love to hear from you. It might not be that we offer a service in your area, but there might be things that I can support you with or signpost you onto. And I'm sure Jack would make the same offer.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, if anybody wants help with signposting, if you type sight loss councils into any search engine, you'll find our website. Learn a little bit about what we're about. If you want to get involved, volunteering, that would be wonderful. But yeah, if you need to learn a little bit more about what we're doing with this project, please just get in touch as well. I'd also like to say just a massive thank you to Sarah for reaching out. As I said before, it can be quite difficult with organisations making assumptions about what we need. But Sarah's reached out to the experts, if you will, the people with lived experience who live it every day. And I think the result of that will be very positive. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how it pans out and being part of it moving forward.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, fantastic, Jack and Sarah. Thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for
Been
having
a
us.
pleasure. Thank you.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.